continuing in Ish Halakha, in the Hebrew version, that's Besoda Yachid Vayachad on page 158, Chavayat Hazman HaMevi'ah LiYetzirat Midit. And in the English, you'll find it on page 110. The issue that the Rav is addressing here is how the Ish Halakha experiences time. You would think that the definition of time is objective, and it doesn't matter whether you're an Ish Halakha or any human being. But the Rav has a very sharp and profound insight into time. And we've discussed the mitzvah of tshuva. The Rav says, Halakha hechnisat rayona yitzira b'chol tokfo v'hodo l'mitzvat ha-tshuva. First and foremost, the concept of creativity has been introduced by Halakha with regard to tshuva, the mitzvah of repentance. There, creativity, we'll see how it applies to tshuva, is a center concept, a central concept. Then he says, Uli yisod hashkacha nevuah v'abchira, there are three other fundamentals in Judaism that reflect in a very striking way the concept of yitzirah, of man's creative capacity. And those are providence, which is called hashkacha pratit, nevuah, and bechira, freedom of choice. The next line in the Rav sentence we've seen in the past, tshuva al pi hashkafat halakha hi pu'ulat yitzira. The act of tshuva, according to the way Chazal, according to the way the halacha presented, it is an act of creation. What kind of creation? Yitzira atzmit, self-creation. And here the Rav goes into a long presentation about the mitzvah of tshuva. If you recall, we discussed this a few weeks back, there's a contradiction between two Rambams. In one Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, Vidui is absolutely indispensable. Without it, there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah of tshuva requires vidui. And on the other hand, there are other Rambams, and certainly the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Tesamid Beis, that drop the ball. They completely omit the requirement of vidui. So, for example, a person takes and makes a tanai when he marries a woman, al manasha ni tzadik, is afilu rasha gomer mekudesha shemehir her tshuva belibo. Well, bedaito, we see that hira tshuva, even tshuva thoughts, without a recitation, without a verbal vidui, suffices in order for him to be considered a tzaddik. So that transition from the status of a rasha to that of a tzaddik is accomplished without vidui, with hira tshuva alone. And the Rav in his Ala Tshuva on page 155 discusses this at great length. Here, in the Ish Halakha, he establishes that tshuva has two dimensions to it. Number one, it is a mechaper. It generates atonement and kapar for one's sins to protect him from onshim. And number two, it's mafkia, the chal shem rasha. It completely undermines the status of the individual as a rasha in halacha and replaces that status with that of a tzaddik. The Rav says that whenever you see vidui as part of the process of tshuva, then you're talking about tshuva as a mechaper. And vidui, which is called kaparas dvarim by Chazal, is a prerequisite to set up a mechaper. However, when the focus of the halacha is on the shem rasha, the transition from that shem rasha to the shem tzaddik, then vidui is completely unnecessary. It's not indispensable. We can do without it. And a person could be mafkia shame rasha and become a tzaddik. That transformation can be accomplished, can be achieved, even without vidui. And the Rav says, hafkas shame rasha, to divest the sinner of his status as a rasha, hu ikar harishot shel tshuva. That is, if you will, the first and most significant principle in tshuva. How does he achieve this hafka shem rashi po'eles? Shinui ha'atzmiyut ve'ha'ishiyut. The Rav says that this principle of divesting the Rasha of his status as a Rasha is achieved when the Rasha completely terminates his identity, his past identity, and he assumes a new identity. And this you'll see in the Hebrew in the middle of page 160, in the English on page 112, right there in the middle. The Rav describes the act of tshuva, this transformation of the personality from that of a rush to that of a tzaddik. He says, "Pu'ula zu ba'a al yidei hachlatat haratzon hagmura v'hachra'at hadat hakvira kabira." He says that this transformation of personality is a result of an absolute decision. He calls it hachlatat haratzon hagmura. There are no strings attached. A tremendous energy here in the decision of a person to create himself anew. It's an intellectual decision of the first order. It's absolute. And the Rav describes it as a yitzirat atzmut chadasha shel ha'adam. In other words, it's a creative gesture which, in which there's a whole transformation, entire transformation of the personality of the individual. And what emerges here as a result of this tshuva process is a new self. And here on the following page, on page 161, and I'm jumping around because we've done this in the past, the Rav quotes the Rambam in the second perek of Hilchas Tshuva Halacha Dalid, Midarkei HaTshuva Meshane Shmo. Says the Rambam, what does it mean to change his name? What does that represent? What does that reflect? Klomar ani acher. I'm a different person. I'm not the same person that I was before. V'eini oso ha'ish ha'osa oso ha'maisim. He makes a statement in front of Almighty God that those actions, those criminal actions that I was guilty of in the past, relate to a different person, because now I've emerged as a new person. And therefore, this is, according to the Rav, the central idea of tshuva. Ha'achirut haruchanit, this new identity, vashonot ha'ishit, and this different person that emerges now than the one that was there before, shenotzrot al yidei tshuva, which are created by tshuva, mahava et mahuta v'tochna shel zu. This is the essence of tshuva. The desire to be another person, that's the central idea of tshuva. And in the next paragraph, the Rav says, "V'kan mofia ha'hevdel ha'ikari ben musaga tshuva b'halacha lezu shel ish hadat ha'klali." The Rav now points out, and we touched on this last time, the difference between the concept of tshuva in halacha and the concept of tshuva as it is understood, as held by the ish hadat ha'klali, the universal man of religion. Zeh acharon, this latter person, the man of religion, to face it, rayon ha'tshuva b'chinat kapara. He doesn't understand the transformation of the personality, the emergence of a new self, the self-creative process of repentance. He understands repentance as a protective measure, as a kapara to protect the person from divine punishment. B'tar tris b'fnei ha'onesh. The beginning and the end of tshuva is like taking in your hand a guard, something that, you know, protects you. Like if you remember the old days when they used to shoot spears, so you took up a shield to protect you from the slings and arrows. Mifnei ha'onesh, because of the divine punishment. B'tar charatat srak, it's really an empty regret. She'eina yotzeret u'mechadeshet klum. The Rav is very cynical about the approach to repentance in universal man of religion. He says it's really just a sort of superficial process. It's almost empty because it's not creative. And the Rav goes on to say that what's going on here is really a deep melancholy that fills the spirit of the penitent. Nafsho hoga nechaim umitabelet al yom etmol kiavar. There's a certain mourning, a grief over a long lost past that's irretrievable. Sheshakak far betom, that is already sunk into oblivion. Maasim shechalfu kitzel, a mourning and grieving over deeds that have vanished off the face of the earth like shadows. Aluvdot she'i efshar l'shanutam u'lahamiran b'achirot. So the bottom line is that you can't change the past. The past is forever engraved and irretrievable and certainly irrevocable. So of course, from that perspective, tshuva is a phenomenon which only could be understood in some sort of miraculous way, which is a result of rachamim rabim, of some sort of great act of grace and compassion on the path of, on the part of God. And now in conscious, masha'enken ish halacha hu einenu mitmaker b'lebechi l'tuga. He's not capable, he's not classically involved in weeping and despairing. That's not his, that's not the vision of classical tshuva.
He doesn't eat himself alive. He doesn't lacerate his own flesh. He doesn't have to wallow in the snow and mortify his body. The Rav doesn't refer here to the practice of Tshuvas HaMishkal, which was accepted by the Chachmei, by the Hasidei Ashkenaz, you know, some 7 centuries ago. It was quite common to do a Tshuvas HaMishkal, but the Ish Halacha classically rejects that kind of mortification of the body, but rather in its place, we have a much more positive and exciting experience of Tshuva. And what is that? And we're turning now to page 162 in Besorei Achid Vayachad. He says, Ish halacha asuk biyitzira atzmit. He's like a partner of God, but in this case he's recreating himself. He's engaged in self-creation. Anochi chadash, creating a new I, a new self-identity, new personality. And here the Rav presents, at least introduces, this is the Petach, the new concept of time. Whereas again, in the classical manner of religion, time is in the past, and the past is irretrievable. Not so within the perspective of Ish Halacha. Enu mitcharet al avar shekvar af v'nelam. His regret is not relative to a past that's buried and dead. El bavar kayam adayin, but rather a past that is still in existence, even in the present. V'amishtarvei v'anichnas l'toch havaya v'atid. It is integrated into the present and even the future. So that the man of halacha is not fighting against shadows that lurk in the past. Einu mitavek im ma'asim shekvar kamshu v'novlu. He's not involved in a boxing match with deeds that are long, long gone into oblivion, that have faded and withered away over the course of time. But rather, and here's the punchline, Ish halacha mu'unyan bibavu'at havar mishtakefet b'merkazam shal chayav bahoveh. He's concerned with images of the past insofar as that past is alive. It is having an impact now. It's active in the present. And what are the what is the nature, how would you describe in adjectives that image of the past, those actions of the past that are relevant now, that exist now? Hasoanim v'hagoashim kiyam nirgash. The Rav waxes very poetic. He speaks about the
tempestuous and clamorous life of a throbbing future. He says, Yesh avar chai. In halacha, we recognize that the past is alive. V'yesh avar met. There is a concept of avar met, but that's not relevant to tshuva. Yesh atid shelono tzara dayin. You could talk about a future that hasn't yet come into existence, and that's irrelevant to us when we discuss tshuva. V'yesh atid hakayam kvar. There is a future that exists now. He says, in contrast to the concept of time from the perspective of tshuva as a spiritual experience, there's the concept of time from the perspective of the law of causality. Yesh avar v'atid she'enam kshurim zeh bazeh. In the context of the law of causality of science, the past and the future are two separate entities. U'bahoveh. And they, neither of them, though the past nor the future, are pulsating in the present. These are three separate time periods. And the only connection between them is the Chok HaSibatiyut, the law of causality. HaSibat im Tsepin Kunad Zmanit Aleph. He says, there's a cause that came into being at time T1. And it generates a result at time T2. Baram, hazman atzmo b'tor avar, mofia b'b'chinat haya. When we look at the past experience or episode, it is haya. It's gone. It's here, but. But no more. Ayin, he says. Ubitar atid. And as far as the future is going to be, b'chinat yiyeh adayin, it's not yet. Uminikudat mapat zu ein tshuva l'musag reik unavov. The Rav says from this perspective, namely that of the definition of time within the framework of the law of causality, the concept of tshuva is really a hollow, an empty concept, because if shalit charet al avar shekvar meit v'shakur b'tom haneshiyah, charata, regret with regard to the past, makes no sense. It's meaningless because it has really no connection to the future. It's the act of the past that causes the future. You can't undo the past, and therefore the Rav says that the philosophers in the secular world really did not have much respect for the concept of tshuva, because in their scientific perspective, it's impossible to regret a past that's dead and buried and has already been lost into oblivion. Barama, here's the key shift in a paradigm shift. He says, Barama, however, and now we're looking at the past and present from the perspective of the ish halacha, from the perspective of the mitzvah and the ideal of tshuva, yesh avar matmid v'yatziv. There's a past that persists and projects itself into the present. She'eino cholef u'mitchabek el be'eino omeid. It didn't vanish and disappear, but rather it exists firmly in its place. Avar ze nidchak v'nichnas l'toch reshut ha'oveh. This past continues to persist and link up into the present. Umit mazeg im ha'atid. And not only that, it links up with the future. He says, Shneim ha'avar v'atid chayim. Both the past and the future are alive. They exist. Po'alim v'yotzrim b'tiburo shel ha'hoveh. They act and they impact in the heart of the person in the present. In other words, they exist now, and they determine the image of reality. He's referring to a common idiomatic phrase, which I think is attributed, if I'm not mistaken, to Ibn Gviro. But rather, how do we view past, present, and future? Kulam mitlakdim umitmazgim yachad. All three unite and integrate into one whole. Uparashat hazmanim shuleshet, this threefold time structure, bokat viola, it arises meuteret hod achdut. Before us, it presents itself as adorned with a splendid unity. Havar mishulav batid, shnei mishtakfim ba'over. The past is integrated to the future, and they both reflect the present. Ein ha'ikaron shel zachar zeh mishamesh. It's not always true that the zachar zeh, which means the process and the sequence of time in causality, the way it's understood in the world of science, is always simano mufak shel hazman. It is always the distinguishing characteristic of time. That's not always the case. Lefamim tchufot, but rather on a regular basis, adam dar betzel ha'avar. Man could abide even now, presently, in the impact of the past. Hatid va'aveh, and yet he lives at the same time in the present and the future, bevat achat, simultaneously. This is a mind-boggling concept that defies the law of causality and sees all dimensions of time as simultaneous. And this creates a whole new perspective on time that completely contradicts the law of causality, but rather a concept of time that assumes a whole new definition. Gam chok ha-sipuyot lovesh mibchina zu tzura chadasha. And now the kind of causality that we're looking for is not a past cause and a future effect, but rather both enkan sidriyut kvua shel talich ha-sibatiyut ha-klalit ere yachas shel biba pila b'musav v'zav shekvar huktzav al yada kayam kan gam hila v'gam ha-alul mofiim b'levush activi fasivi. Okay, this is a very complex word that the Rav is really borrowing from English, because he's got both active and passive, b'tar paulim v'nifalim, both in the same word. And basically what the Rav is saying, and here you might look in the English, where are we in the English? I don't know. Oh, here on page 115, let's see if we can find it in the English. He says, both cause and effect appear in an active passive garb. Both act and are acted upon. Both act and are acted upon. Each influences and is influenced by the other. And here the Rav says in the Hebrew, Hatid kovet hakivun umetzayenet haderech. It's the future that guides the path. Yesh tofa shetchilata chet va'avon v'sofa mitzvot u'ma'asim tovim. In other words, there's a sequence of events here that begins with sin and yet ends up with mitzvos and ma'asim tovim. V'chein lehepach, and it could be the opposite. Says the Rav, ha'atid mishana et magamot ha'avar unitiyotav. The future completely transforms the past. Mitzvion ze mitzayenet hasibatiyut ha'sholet b'mamlechet haruach. This is the kind of causality that operates in the realm of ruach, of ruchaniyut. Man as a spiritual being can reject the causality of science and jump into a new kind of causality in which the future will transform the past. And the past is indeed transformed, because it's the past itself that leads a person to tshuva and ma'asim tovim. So this is causality operating in the realm of spirit in a whole new way. And here we turn to page 164, and in the English you'll look at the bottom of page 115. The main principle of tshuva is that the future dominate the past and there reign over it in an unbounded fashion. Hachet b'tar ilav reishit shal shelet sibatiyut Arucha shel ma'asim shliliyim mitapech tachat yado shel atid. Unbelievable. The Rav says that sin, as a cause and the beginning of a chain of cause and effect that ends up with negative actions, now is transformed mitapech tachat yado shel atid, under the controlling hand of the future. Limakar, it becomes a source, lizchuyot u'mitzvot. That very same past, which is irreligious, now becomes a source for merit and good deeds. Ava v'yirat shamayim. For the love of God and the fear of God. Hasibah nimtzei ba'avar, even though there is a cause from the past, but kivunei ishtalshula nikba'im al yidei ha'atid. The direction that will develop from that past will be determined by the future. And here the Rav invokes the Gemara in Yuma Pei Vav, Kedola tshuva shez donos nasos lo kizochios. How could it be that a sin is now transformed through the process of tshuva into a merit? The answer is because the future will now determine the direction and development of the past. The sin, in effect, now gave birth to mitzvos, and therefore, we find here an unbelievable power of past, present, and future to merge and to integrate into one time zone, in which at the end of the day, it's going to be the future which determines the past. A phenomenal new breakthrough in the understanding of time, according to the Ish Halakha. And here I would press the return button and start a new paragraph, because the Rav now wants to indicate how this new concept of causality and time will impact on the concept of freedom of choice. Vashkafa zu ganuz v'tzafun yisod ha-bechira v'chofesh ha-ratzon. Here we find the germ for the idea of chofesh ha-bechira, of freedom of choice. Bechira ma'ava basis liyitzira, and this is the freedom of choice, which is the basis for creation. Sibatiyut v'yitzira sotrot zuzu. On a scientific level, cause and effect and creation are two mutually exclusive concepts. If you can determine the effect based on the cause, there's no room for creativity, for original free choice decision and actions that are not based on causality. Im ha-chukiyut ha-sibatit ma'atzevet et muti yukno ha-ruchanit shel adam, is then yitzira atzmit mativa. If we assume that the law of causality is going to determine and mold man's spiritual personality, then there's no room for self-creation. That would be a meaningless concept. But Medvar Amur says, Rav, that's only within the context, the framework of Shechok HaSibatiyut HaKlalit, when you're dealing with man in the from the framework of the general law of causality, Yelid HaTeva, which is a result of nature, of biology. But that's not what's controlling man as a spiritual being. It's not natural causality that impacts on man as a spiritual being. But rather, man as a spiritual being lives in eternity. He lives in a different realm of time. He's not subject to the law of natural causality. That's in the physical realm. And man, insofar as he's a biological being, is part of that physical realm, in which event A will definitely determine the result, which is event B. The past is the all-powerful. The future must follow in its wake. The future is a mesovev. It's an effect and not a cause. And therefore, the question of creativity is completely out of whack. But if you take a look on page 116 in the English, he says the creative gesture of which man is capable cannot be reconciled with the scientific concept of causality. It can only be reconciled with the principle of causality is rooted in a type of time consciousness in which past, present, and future merge into one, and the future will determine the past. When the future participates in the clarification and elucidation of the past, it points the way to take, it defines the goals, indicates the direction of development, then man becomes a creator of worlds. The Rav says, and here we're looking in the Hebrew on page 165, Adam Gadol, we're talking about a great man here, Menatzel et Chatei Avero. He literally transforms the sins of his past and re-energizes them. He utilizes his past sins, Upsha'av L'shem Matarot Gdolot V'Nisgavot. He takes those very energies of the past sins as a cause to bring him to achieve great and exalted deeds and goals. And the reason he's able to do so is because the future is going to impact on the past. And if you want to see this in the English, turn to the top of page 117. Man molds the image of the past by infusing it with the future, by subjugating the what was to what will be. In other words, instead of the past controlling the future will control the past. To be sure, each cause gives rise to a new causal sequence, but this sequence can go in different directions. And now man stands at a crossroads and he asks himself, whither direction, what direction should I go in? If man chooses to do so, he can uplift himself by placing himself into a new framework, into a new time dimension called eternity, in which the past will heed his word, because now it's the future that directs the past. The idea of the reign of the future of the past is highly paradoxical, but is no less true for all of that. And in the next section, the Rav is going to try to apply some of these principles of the eternity of time to the experience of both the individual and the community at large, and the relationship between the two within the framework of the Ish Halakha. In the Hebrew, this begins on page 166, and the title is Toda'at Hazman HaKibbutzit Shel Knesset Yisrael. The Rav wants to present a brand new idea, a major breakthrough, the awareness of time on a collective level for all of Knesset Yisrael. Now, Knesset Yisrael, the Rav has discussed on many occasions, does not refer to a group of Jews, a community of Jews, or even to all the Jews that coexist at one time in the period, in a particular period of history, but rather Knesset Yisrael spans all times. It links together all generations, past, present, and future. And this is going to be a central concept for the Rav in this presentation. He says, Chavayat Ish Halakha Eina Mugbel B'toch Mizgeret Avro, his past, HaIndividuality, his own personal individual past. He's not limited by that. Ela yotzeit mitchum mitzumtzam kazeh, but rather breaks out of this limited domain. Vishovlachat et perotel or shutanetzach. And in a sense, man reaches out. The Ish Halakha, the individual Jew, reaches out and enters into the domain of netzach, of eternity. Toda'at hazman ha-kibbutzit shel Knesset Yisrael, the awareness of time of all of Israel, ha-chofeket zroot olam, really embraces an awareness of all of time. And here the Rav goes from the present, so to speak, back to the future. Chachmei ha-mesorah, he's talking about the Chazal. And then he's going back to Yimei Bayit Sheni, Tkufat HaNeviim, all the way back to the Neviim. This is a reverse of the Mishnah at the beginning of Avos Ma'amad Har Sinai Gulat Mitzrayim Chaye Avot Briyat HaOlam Sitrei Maaseh Breshit. All this belongs to man. The Ish Halakha lives simultaneously with the awareness of all of history. It's a collective consciousness of time. And this is the Kinyan that defines the awareness of the Ish Halakha, his own eye awareness. Zmano nimdad beimat amida shel Torateinu apotachat bebriat shamayim va'aretz. So time for the man of Halakha reflects the beginning of time, meaning the creation. Ein Ish Halakha chotem beatido hapratid. Man of Halakha is not limited, he's not circumscribed by the individual experience of time as a physical being, she is tayem b'shat v'tito, which will terminate with his death. El batid ha'uma. Wow, this is unbelievable. Man continues to live even beyond his death, insofar as he's integrated to the future of the people
of Israel as a whole. Kula hamitkagat, akula, hamakula, hamitkagat lebiat hamashiach malchut shakai. This is the nation that forges on in the expectation or the aspiration and dream, longing, craving for the time of Achrit HaYamim, the coming of the Mashiach, and the establishment of Malchut Shakai. Hod Kedumim. Okay, the Rav is getting again very poetic. He's talking about the splendor of the past. V'yif'at Achrit HaYamim, and the beauty of the end of days, Chofufim, they join together and they overlap. Al Toda'at HaZman Shal Ish Halacha, in the consciousness, the time awareness of the man of halacha. Yesh kan tishtush agvulim hamdilim bein zmaniyut linitzchiyut. There is a certain certain tishtush, the Rav says. Tishtush is a word that's used in modern Hebrew very frequently. It means to obliterate or to blur distinctions and boundaries. And in this case, the boundaries between time as a temporal experience, chaye olam l'chaye sha'ah, and everlasting or eternal time. He refers here to the Danish, or the philosopher Spinoza, one of the rationalists of a few centuries ago, who, in order to understand the idea of eternity, had to remove from his frame of reference the concept of time. Because if there's a concept of time, temporal time as we know it, there's no room for the concept of eternity. He says in the English, Spinoza, in order to introduce the idea of eternity into the highest conception of the world afforded by knowledge, divested being, he took being, meaning ontological being, and divested of the attribute of time. All we have is space and extension. He says, on the contrary, Pumfaket, Hayadut, he says, the Jewish religion, Omerit, declares the opposite, Ein Netzach Belizman. There's no such thing as eternity without time. Klape Laya, Pumfaket, he says, B'toch Havayat Hazman, Mitgalim Chaye Olam. It's from the experience of time that the experience of eternity is revealed. In other words, the time is transformed into eternity. Hasha'a nefcha nefechet li'ein sofiyut. Harega linitzchiyut. A moment of time is now transformed into eternity. And now we're looking at the top of page 167. He says, Ein adam omed al ha-netzach, ela mitoch todat hazman. Man cannot glimpse eternity, but only through the consciousness of time. And here he has a beautiful presentation of what he calls, and what is known in halacha, as mitzvot zchira. There are many commandments to remember past events. What is the purpose of this whole group of mitzvot? He says, Kol magamat mitzvot zchira, the whole purpose and goal of these mitzvot of zchira, shenemru ba-Torah kagon zchirat yitzhiyat Mitzrayim, zchirat mamar har Sinai, zchirat yom ha-Shabbat, zchirat amalek, mechuvenet, the entire goal is to achieve the following. Klapei ha-knes, hachnasat ha-uvdot halalu, atikot yamim v'shonim litocha shel todato shel adam. To integrate all of these past events, these ancient occurrences, into man's time consciousness. That's really something. In other words, when we remember something of the past, it's not just thinking of the past as something separate from us, but integrating the past into the present. Gulat Mitzrayim, Gilui Shechina, Briat HaOlam, Nefchim Lechilek Integrali Shel Tochen HaTodah HaAchshavit. So Yitziat Mitzrayim and the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Maimon Har Sinai and Briat HaOlam, the creation of the world, these are all transformed into an integral part of man's present consciousness. And these are meant to direct man now. So again, it's the past
that has an influence on the present because it's integrated into the present consciousness. L'chavaya bilti emtzait. It's a direct experience. He says that's why b'mitzvat Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim b'leil tetvav b'nisan the halacha demands b'chold over dar chayv adam liros esatzo kiluhu yotza b'mitzrayim. The Rambam asks kiluhu ata yotza b'mitzrayim. How can a person see himself as if he himself was redeemed from Mitzrayim? Is he a partner with Moshe and Aaron in the history of the Jewish people? Im lo shechlel et atz, if im lo shechlal et atzmo, I think it should say, ba'avar yashan noshan zev v'tamlich ha'gula, unless he integrates himself into that past, that ancient past, and into the process of redemption, shitra came as that occurred then. In other words, how could it be possible that man could experience personally the geula, the redemption from Egypt? How could he regard himself as someone who left Egypt, as being a partner with Aaron and Moshe in the dawn of our history, unless he includes himself in the ancient past? He is part of the process of redemption that occurred then. In other words, these zchirot are not just tied to the past, but they point their way to the infinite future. And it's so fascinating, says the Rav, that within the Leil HaSeder Agada and the Mitzvah HaLaila, the Yitziat Mitzrayim concept, the Geulami Mitzrayim, Michuberet Begula Tida, is inextricably linked up with the future redemption. And the Rav goes on and he says the following. He says, you'll find this in the Matbea of Birchat Emet ve'emunah, or Berchat Emet ve'atziv. These are the brachot that are recited after Kriyat Shema. They will connect the past redemption of Egypt from Egypt with the future redemption at the time of the Achrit Hayamim. V'chein anu chotmim b'leil hitkadesh chag b'halel, the hal of leil ha-pesach, hal ha-gadol v'nishmat, nishmas kol chai, shekol tochna mishulav im chazon kitvei ha-kodesh shel Achrit Hayamim. So we'll see in the Hallel and in Nishmat the same motif that all these experiences that we talk about in the past are linked up together with the vision, what the Rav calls in the fancy theological language, the eschatological vision of the future. Mamad Har Sinai Vaser Tikkun Olam Malchut Shakai. And now no doubt the Rav is going to talk about Malchios on Rosh Hashanah. And we're talking about the shofar of Har Sinai. He says, Mamad Har Sinai Mevaser Tikkun Olam. The Mamad Har Sinai experience is much more than just the giving of the Torah at one point in time, but rather it foreshadows the perfection of the world with the kingdom of God at the end of days, V'achrit Yamim, V'giluik Vodo Le'ein Kol Basar, when the glory of God will be revealed publicly in front of the eye of every mortal flesh man. Nuschat Berchot Shofarot B'Tfilot HaMusafim Rosh Hashanah. I said Malchiyot, sorry. Shofarot Mi'idal Kesher Zeh. The very text of the Bracha of Shofros is a formulation of this connection between the past and the future. Again, to connect Matan Torah with Mashiach, with Geula. Zechirat Amalek, there's a mitzvah to remember Amalek, Mesabat B'Milchemet Yisrael B'Tzvaot HaRish'ah U'Malchut Zadon. But we're not just remembering the past of Amalek and what they perpetrated against us and the battle that Israel waged against this Satan, but rather we are connecting it with the future, with the end and the destruction of the Malchut Zadon. Ad ki avo Shiloh. Shiloh, of course, is a reference to Mashiach. And therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, when we daven in the Shmoneser, we say Zayom Tchilat Masecha Zikaron LeYom Rishon. On the one hand, Rosh Hashanah is a day of remembering the creation of the world. But nevertheless, he chogeget et yom yitzirat olam, but it's not limited to yitzirat olam, because Rosh Hashanah is also a day in which we
integrate visions of the future. So we're not just celebrating the anniversary of the creation of the world as an act in the past, but that act in the past is embedded in our consciousness. Adayin tachuv b'todata shel ha'uma ha'mitpalelet bo b'yom l'chidush pnei ha'olam, which of course is an extension and reflection of what the Rav said earlier. We did that last week, that we look out at the world that's imperfect and has flaws, and we long and crave, we pine for the day in which that world will be perfected. Ha'avar ein sofim et galgelu ba b'toch ha'oveh ha'rega cholef ha'sha'a shotev ne'fechet l'nitzchiyut. Those expressions of the past, the infinite past of creation, are now entering into the experience of the present, and then we transform the present into a moment of eternity. And the people of Israel plea in front of Hashem, Aloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha v'inase al kol ha'aretz b'ikarecha mamshicha bat zion et tachnunel lefnei melech ha'mishpat. In other words, the people of the covenant, the daughters of Zion, Knesset Yisrael, now continues on Rosh Hashanah with a petition before Almighty God who's sitting in judgment. Moloch al kol olam, O God, reign over the entire universe. Be exalted over the entire earth. So we're not only involved in the infinite past, but also in the infinite future. And the two integrate together to form one whole. That is the consciousness of man, of halacha. We'll take a look at the bottom of page 119 in the English, in which the Rav says the following: not only the infinite past, but also the infinite future, the future in which there gleams the reflection of the image of eternity, also the splendor of the eschatological vision, arise out of the present moment, fleeting as a dream. Temporal life is adorned with a crown of everlasting life. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai mesor li Yoshua, etc. Zus tismat halacha. This is the catchphrase of halacha, the motto of halacha, mesora, mesamelet. What is the transmission, the chain of transmission? It symbolized tfisat Knesset Yisrael biyachas l'tofat hazman b'chol tifartav hadra. This is definitely a reflection of the outlook of the Jewish nation regarding the phenomenon of time, which the Rav describes as Tiferta V'Hadra, the beautiful and resplendent phenomenon of time. Shalshelet HaKabbalah Kayemet La'ad U'Lenetzach Nitzachim. The glorious chain of the tradition and a transmission of Torah exists through all of eternity. Ein kan zman hamavale et hakol. We're not talking about time in this conception as destroying. Ein kan am cholefet u'mitchameket shalshelet nifla zu shetchilata tchuva b'zarei haboker shel yom ha'shlishi v'ruba k'kula b'chazon achrit hayamim yatzeget et midat histakluta shel Knesset Yisrael b'havayata ha'historit. Hashata al pnei zerem hazman. What it means is, and you'll see this in the English in the middle of page 120, he says the consciousness of halachic man, the master of the tradition, embraces the entire company of the sages of the Mesorah. Unbelievable. All of Chazal, from the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu Kibel Torah Misinai, up until this very day, are all integrated into one present experience. The Rav says the chain of tradition, which began millennia ago, continues until and will continue until the end of time. Time is not destructive, it's not all-consuming, it does not simply consist of fleeting moments of the past. This wondrous chain, which originated on the bright morning of the day of Revelation and stretches forward into the Acharis Hayom, represents the manner in which the Jewish people experience their own history. A history that floats upon the stormy waters of time. But the consciousness of history embraces all of the Chachmim Mesorah in all generations. So the Ish HaLacha lives
in the midst of Rabbi Akiva and the Rambam, in the midst of Abai Verava and Rabbi Chaim, they all live together in one time period. And this is again a reflection of the concept of eternity, of time as a unification of all dimensions, past, present, and future. Everything is integrated into one, in one present reality, one consciousness. And this is the consciousness of the Jewish people as a whole, something that each and every one of us experience. The Rav now is going to compare this to Bergson's insight into time. He's a French philosopher. I think he was a Jew by birth, but that's about it. And we'll see that in Mitzvah next time. So make a note of it, that we're going to pick up here in the middle of page 168 in Besoda Yachid Vayachad, and towards the end of page 120 in the English version.